Well, we're delving into some obscurity today in the Old Testament. The prophet Hosea drew the short straw when God called him into the ministry, as it were, to speak God's word to the people, to be God's mouthpiece, and so on. First thing God asked Hosea to do, and asked in a way that essentially meant do this, was to become the husband of, well, I suppose we would politely call her a working girl today. To be a kind of object lesson to the apostate Jerusalem Israelites, saying in effect, this is what it's like being your God. Look at Hosea and her. And Hosea lives that message for 11 or 12 chapters until he's asked by God to say this on God's behalf, after all of this harlotry, if you will, metaphorically. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come to destroy. Oddly poignant. And interestingly enough, a sentiment as recent as if you didn't go make pizza or cook ribs during the halftime show last week, coming out of a song by Lady Gaga. If you've heard the song A Million Reasons, it's about a relationship on the rocks. And the chorus says something like, I've got 100 million reasons to walk away, but baby, I just need one reason to stay. How can I give you up? My heart recoils within me. It's, I think, maybe the most consistent theme throughout the Old and New Testament that God's transcendent love always overcomes and is more powerful even than the anger that is completely justifiable watching us at work. Love saves us. Ultimately. Happy Valentine's Day. Love saves us, as it were. Love saves us, I think, in a variety of ways. Love saves us, I think, first of all, from ourselves. You ever had it occur to you that you can't seem to get out of your own way? Duh. Me too. The good news is there's a sentiment in the New Testament from St. Paul precisely to that effect. He says, I don't understand my own actions. I don't do the things I wish to do. I do the very things I hate. Can't get out of my own way. Well, the theological term for that is hypocrisy. Psychologists have shown us a way out. What is one theologian's hypocrisy is the psychologist's cognitive dissonance. And we've learned some of this talking to and interviewing and surveying college students over the years. There are good Christian, Bible-believing, conservative, evangelical types that, would you believe it, once they get to college, they do some of the very things they say they hate. Right? You don't need to know the list. You've probably figured that out. And yet they tell us, you know, well, I don't do it at home, and I'd probably do worse if I wasn't a Christian. And so just work this out in your own head, right? And, you know, you want to say, oh, you poor children. But we're all in the same boat, are we not? We all play those games. And we want to say, well, you know, maybe when the roll is called up yonder, we'll get credit for not being as bad as somebody else. Right? And yet, it only takes one and you're out. And yet, how can I give you up? When you start looking at relative apostasy, sinfulness. We recognize that we're all in the same boat. And the good news is, God will save us from it. The bad news is, he might save people you'd rather he wouldn't, but I think this notion of we are all in this together makes us a little bit more generous and perhaps a little bit more tolerant when we get out of our own way and understand that the only way out is together. So I think love saves us from ourselves, which leads us to the more broad point that love saves us ultimately. You know, there's a theological doctrine that says we are saved by faith through grace. And then the logic of that says, well, just be more faithful and God will save you. As though you want that up from within. You don't. Faith is a gift. And it comes to and through the people that, you know, were in that leaky boat a minute ago. Faith is generated from within the community by the work of the Holy Spirit. There is not a person in this room, there's not a person that has ever been in this room that could not say, my faith was strengthened because of someone I know in this community. Not because of something I did, maybe because of something they said or did for me. I suddenly understood that we're all in this together and that the faith that saves us is the result of the gift of the Spirit working through us to get us through. And once we're through, maybe to have some fun and to celebrate the fact that God will not let us go. And the best way we know that we're held fast is that we're held fast together, and the faith we get from one another saves us. Love saves us from ourselves and ultimately together. And finally, I think love saves us every day. I had a mid-level administrator ask me just in passing the other day, it was a chance encounter, well, Jerry, when do you think you might retire? And I didn't know and couldn't tell whether he was asking that question because the thought was, my gosh, how will we get along without you at some point? Or how soon can we fill your seat with somebody younger, more energetic, and cheaper? Couldn't tell. But I started asking myself the question, and you know, that wasn't the first time it's come up, but the answer to the question is sometime probably between, 2024-ish and Friday. Kind of depends on a week. Kind of depends on the day, right? If I were to pack it in tomorrow, it'd take till Friday to fill out the paperwork, you know? It depends on the day, because we have days, do we not? We have days. And at the end of the day, I think love saves us, even at the end of one of those days. The second most poignant prayer I know after the Lord's Prayer is one that we always use at weddings. It's a lengthy little prayer, but the punchline is this, and it's a prayer for the couple that says explicitly, and, O Lord, may at the end of each day they be found as they are right now, hand in hand, thanking you for each other. If any of us has anyone in our lives about whom at the end of any day we can say to God, I'm glad we have them, that's how love saves us. It's what makes it worth it. If at the end of each day we can say to God, I'm glad I have him, I'm glad I have her. It's Valentine's Day coming up. And I'm transmitted back to fourth grade in my mind again, where the rule was everybody brought Valentine's to class and you had these little, you know, construction paper mailboxes on your desk and everybody got to pass. And the rule was in our house anyway, you give a Valentine to everybody in your class. Oh, I don't want to. There's at least two or three kids I'd just soon not. And then it occurred to me about fourth or fifth grade when these things started to matter a little bit, that I didn't think I would get a Valentine from everybody in my class because I knew I was not the most popular kid. But there was at least one or two of the cute girls whose moms and dads had the same rule and made me get one. You know, and I would pull that out. Like, oh. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away. I just need one good one to stay and one little Valentine. One little moment, one little memory. Love saves us. Ultimately, together, today. Because he can't give us up. And we won't give up on each other. Amen.